Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Just Interesting podcast, the show that we aim to talk about things that we find just interesting. Martin, it's been so long. Well, it feels like it's been so long since we've done one of these live, anyway.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the bit with Fast and Furious. Haven't seen it, but it's been a long time. We're in the cars together. And hopefully we won't go on our separate roads, but it's been a long time without you, my friend.
Yeah, I understand the exact moment that you're talking about. It's the heartfelt kind of exit scene of Paul Walker's character, Brian.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Fantastic analogy, Martin.
Thank you. A good one to start the show.
Exactly. But what are we talking about today? We're not talking about Fast and Furious today. We're going to be talking about the self-proclaimed and self-styled crypto queen, who has been described as the most successful criminal in history. And we'll be discussing whether we think that's true and some also recent news that has happened regarding her case and the FBI. So we'll be getting into that a bit later and just talking about the whole mystery surrounding her, because it's a bizarre case and one that I didn't hear about until quite recently as well. So it's... extraordinary.
Yeah. I mean, she was also described as the bitch of Wall Street meets MLM, multi-level marketing. Some different names for her. Different names. We'll discover more.
It's a dramatic story, and we'll be unfolding some of that a bit later on. But Martin, let's address the elephant in the room here.
The elephant who's not in the room.
We're a three-man podcast, and there's only two of us. So where is our third fella? Where's Robin?
I was thinking about potentially doing some funny skit about where he is, but he's actually been quite unwell, so it might not be appropriate. He made a video. He made a video for the channel, so some people might have already seen this. But basically, he's got COVID pretty badly. And although he managed to do the video and he's been feeling a little bit better, he still feels pretty shit by all intents and purposes. So he's not here today, unfortunately. But hopefully he'll be back soon. But yeah, we miss you, man. And really unfortunate with the old cat's climbing up on the fence. Really unfortunate with the COVID after being able to survive, without catching it for so long.
I know. Yeah, it's been.
It does seem to be rearing its head.
I feel like I haven't had it yet so far. I haven't had any bad symptoms yet. If you're watching, we hope you feel better. Do you know what I think, Martin? I think
he's lying.
I'm just speculating here. No, I'm not saying he's lying, but I think he made that video the other day on the channel saying he has COVID just to stop us from making up some rubbish about him streaking in the Netherlands or something.
It's possible. It's possible.
He wanted to get his story straight, lay out the facts.
He did say, poor bloke, but he did say that after he made that, he went and lay down for 12 hours. Yeah, it's the sacrifice to not be named and shamed. Fake news about him is real.
Yeah, that's very true. But if you're listening to us on a podcast platform of your choice, you may be interested to know that this is a live podcast. We are doing it live. It's probably quite obvious given how flustered we might seem and stumbling over words that it's live. Of course it's live, yeah. So welcome in the chat to Sam the King 25. Gee, Willy Wonkers, they say. Avar Denth is in the chat saying that he's getting upgrades. That's referring to Robin, of course, our podcast robot Robin. Arcane Wolf is in the chat, says, was just about to make a robot joke, feel better. So yeah, lots of well wishes in the chat as well. But welcome everyone to the chat. And if I'm interested, because I'm about to ask you, Martin, what you've learned this week. I want to ask the chat, what's an interesting fact that you've learned this week that you'd like to share with us? Feel free to drop it in the chat. And as always, we will not be fact-checking. So feel free to drop an interesting fact in the chat and we'll just take it at face value.
I love it. We have the capacity to fact-check live. So
maybe one day we will, but
we will have a producer like Joe Rogan with, he's someone there, doesn't he?
Look this up, yeah.
Well, look this up, and then he's always wrong. He's like, no, I'm sure it's right. Look it up, and he's like, it's wrong. It just makes you think how much of the stuff he says is completely wrong. Majority of it must be. because whenever he looks something up, it's wrong. So anyway,
yeah.
Anyway, enough about him. He's got enough publicity.
But Martin,
is the name.
He does have enough publicity, yeah, to be honest. Yeah. Well, what have you learned this week? Is it exclusively things about Joe Rogan?
Yes, in fact, it is. No, apart from learning that Boris Johnson has the moral integrity of a paperclip, which we already knew, didn't we? Like, we knew that he was just, you know, absolute.
I mean, I was going to say, did you learn that this week?
No, but it just extends further and further and further and further. No, but what I did learn this week was a little bit about superhuman strength. And, well, people don't know whether this exists. So there are stories, aren't there, of like, oh, my baby's stuck under a car. It's like, it's probably dead already, but, you know, try and lift the car up, and they can, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, oh, great, I found it.
Motherly strength summoned.
Exactly, which no one's ever really seen in real life. It's kind of hearsay, isn't it? I mean, probably maybe someone has, but you will hear about these stories. There's actually recorded documentation of them. But anyway,
where's the video so of like a mum moving a truck? Yeah.
Is there? Okay.
No, I said, where is that video?
Where is it? Yeah. Yeah, and like people are lifting up cars and shit. Anyway, you're like, that's amazing. And unless you're world's strongest man, you think that most people can't do that. And so it's like, okay, well, what causes people to be able to do that? And the whole thing is, potentially higher levels of adrenaline when you're in that situation means that your muscles work, you know, can contract like you never believed that they could, you know, a heightened sense of danger or whatever, fight or flight, et cetera, et cetera. And so I was reading a little bit of an article about that and the potentials for other situations, or the potentials for human strength, basically. And one of the really interesting things that came up was about when people are electrocuted. And so you think when people are electrocuted, like, it's like the energy of the electricity makes them fly backwards. You know, you see like huge voltage fly backwards.
Yeah.
But it's actually not that. That's not what makes people fly backwards. It's the fact that their muscles all contract immensely at the same time. And that's what makes them fly backwards. So it's actually your own strength
that's
making that happen. Yeah. And so that's just like a good example of, okay, if we're looking at kind of the limits of human strength, maybe that's a decent place to start. It's like how, when your muscles contract at their most, what the effects are. And electrocution was one of them. So that's kind of what I learned this week, was about that electrocution fact, which I thought was pretty interesting.
That's really interesting. So we can't obviously contract our muscles in that exact same way as a decision, right? Like when we're electrocuted, we can't do that willingly to then make ourselves fly backwards whenever we want. So is there a way to trigger that with electricity, like in a way that could actually be useful, do you think? Or is there a way to, maybe in the future, we could do something with our brains to allow us to do that? Just flick a switch and unlock that kind of super strength?
Yeah, this sounds like probably a conversation with someone that smokes loads of dope.
Hey, look it up.
Do you think we can unlock
look that up.
Unlock our true potential? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Yes. Why not?
We're not fact checkers on this. If anyone wants to fact check that, feel free.
There you go. But yeah,
that's a really interesting fact, though.
I thought it was quite interesting.
I wonder.
Thought it made me think. Sorry, when people get electrocuted, do they like ripple their muscles? They must do. Like, it must like destroy their muscles.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder, like, if there's any reports of people that have survived being struck by lightning. What the
there are
of, well yeah but people have survived it but like yeah, yeah I would be curious to know if that's a side effect that their muscles just all of them tear. That'd be interesting to know.
Yeah, I guess with lightning you get more often than not you get really badly burnt anyway. So you get burnt like
really you get like lightning scars, don't you?
Yeah exactly.
Brutal stuff.
Yeah,
well, that's really interesting. I think I might look that up afterwards as well, because I don't know. That's an interesting topic, like superhuman abilities. If you had a superhuman power, Martin, what would yours be if you could choose?
Yeah, I tend to go back to flying. Yeah. I just think it'd be really cool. The thing is, like, after a while, you'd be like, if everyone could fly, you'd just be like, this is just something we do, right? You wouldn't feel that superhuman. But I think be able to fly, I mean, not to fly slowly, flying slowly would be rubbish, wouldn't it? How fast can you fly? 3 miles
an hour? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's monkey's paw curls, you can only fly 1 foot off the ground.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be terrible. Arcane Wolf says teleportation 1,000%. Yeah, I mean, it's a quicker way of flying, isn't it? You don't get the experience and the journey, but it's, I guess, in games, you know, sometimes you just want to fast travel. So maybe teleportation is the better option. Good. Yeah.
Well, and also with teleportation, which you wouldn't get with flying, is you can still kind of remain anonymous if you can teleport. Whereas flying, do you wear a mask when you fly around? Do you have to maintain a secret identity, or do you just, oh yeah, that's Martin, he can fly about, you don't
Yeah, everyone's
bother.
Accepted it by then. Yeah, just going, how do you do it? And you go, oh, I don't know, mate, just, you know, just ask for it, ask the genie, and here we are.
Would you not get sick of the kind of notoriety that would come from that? Like, how do...
Yeah, maybe.
You'd be studied by the US military, would track you down and study you. You'd be in a facility before you know it.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah, they'd be fighting over you, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
We're different states. Yeah, what about you? What would you go for?
I mean, I'm with Arcane Wolf. Teleportation sounds good.
They wouldn't try and track you down if they found that one, would they?
Yeah. I mean, flying, what about breathing underwater? No, I don't care about enough about it.
Scuba dive.
Yeah. Yeah, I think flying is probably the best one. So do you know what? This is going to sound really boring. Like, the application of what I would do with this is going to sound really boring. But I used to think it would be how good it would be if you could stop time whenever you wanted.
Like Bernard's watch.
Yeah. So, like, you've got your alarm set for 7 a.m. to wake up to go to work, but you just stop time and just have a lay-in. That's all I would use it for.
Yeah, literally just that.
Sleep however long you want.
The thing about Bernard's watch, and I don't know if you watched much Bernard's watch when you were younger, CBBC program
not.
Where
I didn't I saw
Bernard,
some of it.
young Bernard, who was maybe 9 years old, could stop time in an instant by pressing his watch, and everyone would stop, of course, and then he could do whatever he liked. So he would, like, I don't know, like push people into the road, you know, funny things basically. But the responsibility that Bernard had, I remember there was one where, like, someone fell off a ladder and he was like, oh, and went and got, like, a bouncy castle. It's like, mate, you can't live your life if you're trying to, like, save everyone by stopping the watch and changing everything around the world. Like, the amount of mental pressure on you to be able to fix things would just be insane. You end up stopping the watch and going looking for trouble just to try and fix it.
The only downside that I would want, I'd have to agree to this before agreeing to the power, is that you don't age while time is stopped, because otherwise after like one year I'd look like an 80-year-old man.
Wouldn't be good.
But let us know in the comments, what would your favorite superpower be if you had the choice? And let us know why as well.
But what did you learn this week, Alex?
So this week I learned, I've got another story from World War II, because there's endless interesting stories and anecdotes that came out during World War II.
Yeah.
So I learned that the United States published a spy manual urging middle managers in enemy territory to sabotage their employers by bringing up irrelevant issues, promoting bad workers, haggling over petty details, and holding unnecessary meetings.
What? No. So these are what, spies within middle management in enemy territory?
So this was, in 1944, the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS, which was a precursor to the CIA, envisioned a special kind of special forces, an army of dissatisfied European citizens waging war on existing governments by simply doing their jobs badly. This is like a, what's it called? Malicious compliance, but it's an actual military tactic.
Sounds like Monty Python.
So they wrote up the Simple Sabotage Field Manual, which was a kind of untraining manual designed. It was basically a manual full of ideas for motivating and inspiring local citizens to make things harder on their governments. So this was information from this was sent out in leaflets over the radio in person. And then specific agents would meet people who they thought were right for the job. Just like, screw ups, basically. They'll be like, yep, you're perfect. You're a shoo-in. So there's some examples I can list. So a type of simple sabotage, the manual explains, requires no tools and produces no physical damage. Instead, it is based on universal opportunities to make faulty decisions, to adopt a non-cooperative attitude, and to induce others to follow suit. There is a simple sabotage for every occasion. Citizens should cry and sob hysterically at every occasion, especially when confronted by government clerks. Train conductors can issue two tickets for the same seat in the train so that an interesting argument will result. Most impressively, any audience member can ruin a propaganda film by bringing a bag of moths into the theater.
Wow.
Take the bag to the movies with you, leave it on the floor of an empty section of the theater. The moths will fly out and climb into the projector beam, and so that the film will be obscured by fluttering moths.
Where are they getting these bags of moths from?
I mean, where did the moths come from? Who's selling moths during World War II?
So one bag of moths, please. What are you going to do with a bag of moths? Don't worry. Don't you worry. It heads into the cinema.
Or imagine, like, if they check your bags for snacks.
Yes.
If your cinema's doing that, checking bags for snacks, and they just open it up and, a thousand moths fly out.
I mean, that would still cause chaos.
That would cause chaos.
Yeah. You might be caught as a spy under espionage.
Imagine if you were just watching a film and then suddenly you just notice that there are quite a few moths in the room, and then it just got more and more to the point that
someone got these moths out of a projector.
Thousands of moths. Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, good prank, but not practical. Yeah.
Not practical. But I thought that was an interesting
I like it.
Espionage tactic that the US tried to employ during World War II.
Was that in Germany in particular?
I think it was in occupied, Axis regions across Europe. It was employed.
And that was just annoying, isn't it? Rather than being even you'd expect it to be disrupting work and the economy, not just frustrating a few people in the cinema.
But I think
it's propaganda films, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it was more like a death from a thousand cuts type thing, on its own, that's not going to do a huge amount of damage. But I mean, if that shuts down the cinema for the day, then that across the entirety of a country is going to damage the economy somewhat. And then over every single industry, those tiny little malicious compliance, that's going to hurt the output of that country eventually.
I've tried to watch that The Marvelous Mr. Hitler propaganda film 15 times. And every time just someone comes in with a bag of moths. It's awful. Just let me watch it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's what we learned this week. Now, shall we go on to our favourite comments from the past week?
Oh, yes.
Or from the live chat as well.
Yes.
Three Hole Punch Mike. This is referring to what superpower you would have if you could have any superpower. Okay. Says they would have bending any of the four elements.
Okay. Nice.
What would you do with that power? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
That's an open question.
Yeah. Avatar, isn't it? The Last Airbender. We want that power.
Yes. Yeah.
And Recu97's in the chat saying, woohoo, hello, y'all. Hello, Recu97. Great to have you in the podcast.
Fantastic. Well, I've got a comment. From Tracy Simonic, maybe. And this is from our podcast, Is Fusion Power About to Change the World? And in this podcast, I spoke a little bit about Turkmenistan. That was my fact of the week. And the fact that all the cars were white because their leader decreed that that was the case.
Because
he liked white cars and their capital city was all white and covered in marble. And Tracy writes, I don't think that it's weird that the president of Turkmenistan allows white cars in his country. It's common knowledge that Elon Musk hates the colors yellow and orange and had the reusable factory parts left over from the Toyota plant in California painted red to match the Tesla black, gray, and red aesthetic. I mean, when you're in charge, you get to decide these things. Normal, mad with power. I mean, decision-making process. So, okay, is it weird that he decreed that all cars should be white?
I mean, I think there is a bit of a difference between those two. I'm not going to defend Elon Musk at all, but companies have brand identities and brand colors. And I think there's a difference between that, suggested brand colors for a company and a leader of a country outlawing a different color of a car.
Like if you want to have a yellow or orange car, you don't buy a Tesla, right? If you're determined to have that. He's not saying you can't buy yellow or orange cars from anywhere. just because he's in charge of Tesla, he wants them to be white, black, and red and grey, pretty much, aren't they? Mm. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I think it is slightly different, isn't it? But it's still weird that the leader of Turkmenistan says you can only have white cars.
However, if Elon Musk ever became president of the US,
yeah, things could change.
Then that would be a different story. If he just decided to outlaw yellow and red cars, then yellow and orange cars, then absolutely, I'd say that's on par. Yes. Well, I had a comment from last week's the same podcast from The Embers, who says, only recently discovered this podcast and I'm loving it. I think it's fantastic you guys share what you learn each week and then dive into a cool topic. Keep it up, boys. Oh. Thank you very much. That's really kind of you to say.
It's always nice when there are new people who comment and say how much they like it. Of course, we like it. But people have been here for years. That's even more incredible because it's amazing to know that you guys have stuck around and been here. Of course. But it's nice when there's new people too who are discovering it for the first time. It's exciting.
Exactly. Yeah. Awesome. It's lovely hearing that new people are still discovering the podcast as well. And they're not being put off by the fact that there's 80 episodes talking about loads of rubbish. So,
Oh, there was an amazing comment that I came across. Where is it? Oh, it was here it is. So this was on the 300 years completely made up. So it's worth 300 years erased from history was the podcast 33. So they're delving back into it quite a way, actually, which is quite impressive. But yeah. Jesse says, stopped after 15 minutes. I didn't click to hear about DC or dogs. Well, Jesse, you're on the wrong podcast because DC and dogs are going to come up over and over again.
Yeah. That's fair enough if you don't want to stick around after that, because that I'll be honest, that's a running theme of this podcast, meandering and talking about things that aren't the main topic for far too long.
Oh yeah, it's been like 25 minutes, hasn't it, already?
Crime Maniac in the comments, I'm not sure, they ask me, so they say, please shout out my name to motivate me while working, lol. Jonathan P. Jonathan P. There's your name. And also, if you're a crime maniac, I'm not sure if me shouting out your real name is a good idea, but there you go, Jonathan P. No.
And by working, do you mean like cutting up a body or something?
Yeah, or like burgling a house. Because if so, I regret working this whole exchange. I hope I've unmotivated you to do this work, if you are indeed a crime maniac. Oh, Martin. Anyway, speaking of crime and criminals, shall we talk of...
Good segue.
That was a good one, wasn't it? Shall we talk about arguably the most successful criminal in history?
That was... Would you go that far? Yes, ultimately, yes. Let's talk about it.
That's not me saying that, by the way. That's a lawyer that worked on this case who described the person in question as the most successful criminal in history. And here is why, Martin.
Let's see why. Yeah.
So today we wanted to talk about a woman called Roya Ignatova, who called herself the Crypto Queen, who one could argue is the most successful known criminal in history, simply based on the amount that she potentially got away with. So Ignatova is a Bulgarian scammer who in 2014 founded a new revolutionary type of cryptocurrency that she insisted would be the Bitcoin killer. This cryptocurrency was called OneCoin. It lured in hundreds of thousands of eager investors, promising to revolutionize the way cryptocurrency works, while making those early adopters millions in the process. And by the middle of 2017, the cryptocurrency had reached 175 countries and was estimated to have received roughly £12 billion in investments from over a million people worldwide.
Crazy.
And interestingly, with this cryptocurrency, this happens quite a bit in a lot of these kind of cryptocurrency scams that end up happening. I don't know. Do you remember BitConnect?
What?
Have you not seen BitConnect? Oh, my
God.
No,
you've got to send this to me now.
Next time we have a quiz, remind BitConnect. Me. That's going to be my buzzer. BitConnect! Wow! Anyway, yeah. But what was I saying? So part of the appeal of OneCoin was Ignatova herself. In early June 2016, the then 36-year-old businesswoman walked on stage at Wembley Arena, Martin, in front of thousands.
Sorry, I just watched BitConnect.
Oh, you're watching it. Okay. It's good. Yep. It's okay,
I've watched it. I've watched it. It's very good. It's very good.
So she walked on stage at Wembley Arena in 2016 in front of thousands of adoring fans. She was dressed as she usually was in an expensive ball gown, wearing long diamond earrings and bright red lipstick. She told the cheering crowd that OneCoin was on course to become the world's biggest cryptocurrency, for everyone to make payments everywhere. In addition to her style, her salesmanship, she was Oxford educated, and she was once a financial consultant for a highly respected management consultancy called McKinsey. So what I'm getting at is that, unlike maybe other scams that were happening around this time, she seemed to have the credibility and the style to back up these extraordinary claims. You know, it was a convincing argument that she was putting forward that OneCoin was going to be, as she called it, the Bitcoin killer. But yeah, had you heard of this story before, Martin, or has anyone in the chat heard of this?
I had heard of it only quite recently, when someone tweeted about it and about a particular podcast that was coming out.
Which
I don't know if it's out yet or is coming out soon, but there's going to be a podcast, I think, by the BBC, like a series, like an investigative podcast.
Yeah.
By someone, I think it's going through BBC Sounds or something. Yeah.
I think the journalist who broke the story, who sadly, I don't think I've got the name of to hand, but I think he wrote a book about this as well. So I imagine he may be involved in that BBC podcast, but that will hopefully be worth a listen when it comes out. I'm sure it will be. Recu97, also sidetracked for a while, says BitConnect was even a buzzer at one point. So maybe I've used that at some point before.
Did you use it? Okay, fair enough.
Jamie Bartlett, that was him.
Jamie Bartlett, the journalist who broke the story. BBC podcast and author of The Missing Crypto Queen. Right, cool.
Yeah. So is that podcast out at the moment, or is it? I haven't had given a listen if it is.
It looks like it is, because it says host of the hit BBC podcast. So that suggests that it's been a hit.
Well, there you go. This may be a podcast recommendation. What's it called? Yeah. The Crypto Queen.
The missing Crypto Queen.
There we go. If you want more information after this podcast, go and listen to the BBC's The Missing Crypto Queen. I'm sure it will have way more information than we can possibly provide.
It will. It will. We probably should listen to it first.
Right. So where was I?
Sorry.
So anyway, so she seemed to have the credibility to back up these claims. She was part of a management consultancy for a high up financial service. She was Oxford educated, and she was talking the talk and walking the walk. However, those who looked a little deeper into her background might have noticed that some things were amiss. So for one thing, in 2012, she was convicted of fraud in Germany after she declared a company she had recently acquired bankrupt under suspicious circumstances. So she bought a company with her dad, I believe, and declared it bankrupt. I'm not sure how they made money from that. Maybe they stripped all the assets beforehand. But anyway, she was arrested for fraud over that. And in 2013, she was part of another crypto scam called Bitcoin. Not Bitcoin. Bitcoin. Bitcoin, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So suffice to say, OneCoin was not all it was cracked up to be. In fact, you couldn't really even describe it as a cryptocurrency at all, because it wasn't linked in any way to blockchain technology, which is what all cryptocurrencies are based on. This was, in all effects, a simple Ponzi scheme, which, for those of you who may not be aware, a Ponzi scheme, basically in its most simplistic form, is using the money from new investors to pay back previous investors, convincing people that you've got this brilliant business. And so the old investors who have received their money and then some think, oh, wow, I'm going to invest more. And then you attract new investors to pay off the older investors. And it the business in inverted commas grows and grows and grows until it all comes collapsing down in a big old like house of cards.
Bernie Madoff.
Like Bernie Madoff, the notorious Wall Street investor who I can't remember how much he defrauded investors from.
Billions, wasn't it?
I think it was like around 60 billion or something. And he was sentenced to life in, I think, multiple lives in prison for it. He's definitely, did he pass away recently or?
He did die, didn't he? Yeah, last year, I think.
Yeah.
As much as $65
billion. $65 billion.
Yeah.
So this was essentially a similar thing, a Ponzi scheme. Part of the appeal of OneCoin was its simplicity. So I think for the uninitiated in cryptocurrency, it's incredibly overwhelming, right? Things like blockchain, non-fungible tokens, all that malarkey is just word salad to anyone who is not typically clued in technology and that sort of thing. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
With OneCoin, however, it was incredibly straightforward. The users opened an account on the website, transferred some cash to the on the website, and received some digital OneCoin in their account. That was it. Simple, straightforward. You didn't have to worry about going to a crypto exchange and looking at all the prices or anything. It was just very simple.
Okay.
So according to Ignatova, this process was easier and safer than buying Bitcoin. And because of this, she claimed that the value of OneCoin would only increase. That's what she said to sell this product to investors, basically.
I imagine she was right in a way, wasn't she?
She was sort of right. So between 2014 and 2016, people who had invested in OneCoin would have been thoroughly impressed with the returns that they were getting on their investments. The value seemed to be skyrocketing. Unfortunately for them, however, this value wasn't based on anything at all. So,
as it seems to be the case with most cryptocurrencies, to be honest.
Yeah. But I mean, most
or little.
Well,
very little.
That's a different argument entirely. But most cryptocurrencies, well, all of them really should be.
At least on blockchain.
And this applies to shares on the stock market and everything. All of these, the value of them is determined by the processes of free market capitalism. Right. So how many investors are investing, whether they think that's going to make it more valuable. But, you know, these mysterious processes that go on behind the scenes, but ultimately they have value. That's where the value comes from.
Yeah. The difficulty with something with most cryptocurrencies in particular is that there's very little underpinning that value.
Exactly.
It's a digital currency.
It's all about the perceived value, I guess, and the confidence that investors have in it. But it all takes place over crypto exchanges. So, yeah, I mean, at the moment anyway, it seems like cryptocurrency is having a bit of a bad year. But it seems like there's more legitimacy in it than this, which wasn't on any crypto exchange. The value of OneCoin was determined solely by someone sitting at their computer inputting some numbers, basically at random. Someone just logged in each week and changed the number. It wasn't determined on anything.
Silly.
In addition to this, because it wasn't on a crypto exchange or anything, it couldn't be traded or exchanged for cash. Its value that was technically going up was meaningless. Yeah. Meaning,
of course,
the cryptocurrency itself was worthless. It wasn't a currency. It was meaningless.
The only difference between what people paid who were first onto it and people later is the fact that they were charged more.
Exactly. Yeah.
For nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. And people understandably soon found this out. However, what was weird with all this was, even though to outsiders at the time, this scam was obvious. It was obviously a Ponzi scheme at this point anyway. But people inside the bubble behaved almost like they were in a cult, and they refused to accept any kind of negativity when it came to their glorious leader, the crypto queen herself.
Mm-hmm.
And this was largely because the way this cryptocurrency spread was through multi-level marketing. So cult members, investors, received commission anytime they convinced a friend or relative to invest in OneCoin. So it's a pyramid scheme, basically.
It's so wrong that that's like the vehicle of it as well. It's like, you know that you're going to rip people off. It's like, and you're going to destroy their family relations.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrible.
And by mid-2017, the House of Cards started crumbling. Mm-hmm. The FBI were preparing to arrest Ignatova. However, and this is where the mystery comes into it, she apparently caught wind that this was going to happen beforehand. And she was on her way to a conference in Portugal, I believe, in Lisbon, because there was a feature of OneCoin which would allow it to be exchanged and converted back to cash that had long been delayed, obviously.
There was a big
investors meeting happening in Lisbon that she was supposed to attend to.
No chance she's getting there.
And a bunch of
it's like Mark in Peep Show, and he jumps out the window. I can't do the speech. I can't do it because there's nothing to say.
Project Zeus, it's unworkable.
Yeah,
it's
a pile of shit. It doesn't exist. It's rubbish. Yeah, slightly different, but yeah.
So
what do you say?
So caught between some disgruntled investors waiting in Portugal and the FBI closing in, she got on a plane to Athens, a Ryanair plane to Athens.
Yeah.
And
classy.
She was never seen or heard from again.
I would do the same. I think I'd have to do the same in her situation.
But also one small thing to add here, she didn't leave empty handed.
Oh no.
She left with $500 million as well as USBs containing 230,000 Bitcoin.
Jesus. Wow. Which 230,000 Bitcoin.
It would be worth way less now today, but at their peak
still,
which was after this, they would have been worth roughly $15 billion.
They're still probably worth like $7 million or something like that.
Yeah, I mean would still be worth a lot.
Yeah, keep it going. It's what's amazing in this scenario that she's vanished without a trace, right? With that much money, that's tough to do.
Yeah,
because you think that if you're starting afresh, you need to start with like setting up new bank accounts, and the transfer of large sums of money would certainly alert people.
Mm. Well, yeah,
new identity.
She's never been heard from.
Money. Yeah, mad. Must all be done through offshore and shell accounts and false names and all sorts.
I mean, the FBI have recently, and this is what inspired us to talk about this story. I think in the last week, she's been added to the FBI's most wanted list. And there are it's suspected that maybe she changed her appearance, possibly with plastic surgery, in order to get away with this. So she could be anywhere.
Where do you think she is?
So there are different theories dotted around. I don't know what's backing these theories up, though. I think it's just from business interests that she's had in these places over time. But there's theories that she fled to Frankfurt in Germany and has changed her appearance. Okay. I think she'd have to if she was holed up there. Another theory, and this is based on the fact that her brother was arrested for fraud, I believe, around this time. And he gave testimony saying that he had no idea where she was, but the people that picked her up at the airport were Russian, spoke Russian. So it's thought that maybe she fled to Russia.
Yeah, yeah. She would get on well with a few people out there, wouldn't she?
Theory, and again, I think this is just from her like business interests that she had out here, is that she fled to Dubai and is living quite comfortably in Dubai.
Okay.
It's some of the places that you might expect her to flee to, I guess.
Yeah. There's nothing outrageous there.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the drug lords from the UK head to like Spain, don't they?
Do they?
They're always getting arrested in Spain like 20 years later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
There's another theory, and this could explain why she's never been seen. So some Russians picked her up from the airport. She got on a plane. Mm-hmm. With USBs containing all this Bitcoin, it's possible that she didn't, make it to her end destination, or she made it to her very end destination, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
That she was killed off.
Yeah, for a lot of money.
And buried somewhere in the Russian wilderness. And that's why she's never been seen and heard from again. And that money might have gone to some government officials in Russia or something. Who knows, though? It's really kind of, it's very speculative and very kind of just up in the air, really.
Man, That's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy. So FBI ongoing investigation. I imagine they're looking at all these different lines of inquiry.
But you would think
in terms of like, so she made all this money from Bitcoin. How many people invested in it? Do you know? And like, what was some of the sums that were?
Yeah. Invested? So I think it received over £12 billion of investment over the course of OneCoin's existence from over a million different investors. And I think the majority of the investments actually came from China. The majority of investors were from China, I believe. I'm not sure why China in particular, but I think that's...
Good seminars in China.
Yeah. Oh, from in 2016, anyway, China had the majority of investment in OneCoin. I think nearly 450 million euros came from China. Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe she didn't flee to China. But an interesting article came out the other day regarding this story, which is that with crypto markets in turmoil, it's possible that one, Roya Ignatova is the world's largest holder of Bitcoin. She's got more Bitcoin than anyone else. And so she may have lost the most amount of money from the fact that Bitcoin is having such a turbulent time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. True. I mean, I imagine she'll wait out. She'll play the long game with this, won't she? She'll go back up if she's not dead, I guess.
If she's not dead, yeah.
If she's not dead, yeah. It's crazy.
It's a really interesting story, though. Fascinating.
The Crypto Queens, I just saw another article. Crypto Queens, £13.5 million London penthouse. It does look quite nice, actually, as you'd expect.
Well, this is the thing that she, in an effort to, you know, maintain this air of legitimacy while she was spouting all these lies, she bought expensive yachts. She had, I think, Tom Jones played at her birthday party one year. She had would have like celebrity endorsements from different celebrities will come and perform for her and that kind of thing. So, and it was all kind of part of this ruse to get people to buy into her money-making strategy and her companies to give her herself some legitimacy.
I think that during the people investing in the scam, in the scam, people that knew about blockchain technology got in touch with some of the original investors and were like, this is what's going on. There is no blockchain. Like, it is a Ponzi scheme, and like tried to warn them about it. But, you know, when people are in too deep and they're like, no, like, I know about this. I've trust the person. I've invested my money, and like refused to acknowledge that that was the case until they started asking OneCoin whether they had a blockchain already set up.
Yeah.
And they basically palmed off the question and were like, no, like you don't need to know about the workings of our business, until like there's so many people asking. They're like, oh yeah, no, we're getting it sorted. And then they like tried to hire some engineers in the space, and basically the engineers were like, or one in particular was like, oh yeah, what's the company, because like the wage was like £250,000 or like company car, like her housing or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, OneCoin, who's like, OneCoin, like they've got billions of dollars of investment, like, and they're a cryptocurrency company, how can they not have a blockchain? And that's like when the penny dropped for one of them, and then he of course went and tried to tell everyone about the fact that it was a scam, which is pretty crazy.
So they were trying to set it up like way too late.
It was literally just marketing. What they wanted to do was to be able to then create a blockchain so they could say, yes, we've got a blockchain. And it kind of covers that, ticks it off the list. But by then it was too late. Yeah, the cat was most certainly out of the bag. I don't know whether in the first place there was ever any kind of thoughts about it being legitimate and then thinking, like, oh, we can make this work. Let's market it really, really well. And, hop on the coattails of Bitcoin, which is really, really great. And then, you know, once we know there's interest, then we can start working on like the technology around it, which should be pretty straightforward kind of thing, right?
I think that's how a lot of Ponzi schemes start.
Yeah.
The original
focus so much on the marketing that they don't have to forget about what they're actually doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is what happens with a lot of Ponzi schemes, including the original Ponzi scheme. Charles Ponzi, the person where its namesake comes from, had a very legitimate business idea, which was basically selling stamps. selling stamps across different countries.
Oh, that so story's hilarious.
Buying stamps from like certain countries and then selling them elsewhere. Yeah. And if he had just done that on his own, then that could have been a very successful mid-level business for him. Could have been very profitable. But instead, he sought investors, like thousands of investors. But then when he tried to do it, he worked out that
stamps, were there?
There wasn't anywhere near enough stamps in circulation
in the world, yeah,
in order to make any kind of profit on that. So instead he just started paying back investors with new investors' money.
It only lasts so long. Yeah.
It only lasts so long. And it's interesting that in the hundreds of years that these scams have been going, possibly longer, they have hardly changed. Like the original Ponzi scheme, and there were Ponzi schemes before that, but I think his case was so notorious that that's why he got its namesake.
Yeah.
But they just haven't changed at all, and this is so recognizable compared to a scheme that happened, you know, nearly 100 years ago or over 100 years ago.
Yeah, very true.
But it's interesting. I do wonder if she'll ever crop up or we'll ever find out what happens to the crypto queen.
I think she'll be found.
Do you think? You think she'll be found eventually?
Yeah. I mean, either she's already dead or she'll be found.
Yeah.
I think those are the two options.
Recu97 says 5 billion went to Putin and the rest is chill. So she just made a deal with Putin, basically gave him 5 billion and chilled with the rest. I mean, that's a very good point, though. She could have gone to basically her choice of country and said, here's 5 billion, keep me protected, and it's yours to keep.
Or it wouldn't be the worst. Putin, and he's now chill, and she's dead. Because if it ever came out that that she had given or been made to give 5 billion to Putin, man. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know what...
Putin would not like that.
Yeah, that would really hurt Putin's reputation. That would,
it would make him look like a bad man.
I'm sure he wouldn't like that. He's got to protect his reputation at all costs from Westerners like us think.
Yeah, of course.
But it could have been 15 billion to Putin, and he's really chill.
True. Do you think she'll be found, dead or alive?
Do you know what? I have a strong inkling that she might have been, killed off by some government somewhere. I feel like there would have been some indication of where she is. But I mean, I think weirder things have happened. Weirder things have happened. So maybe.
Yeah.
It's always possible.
I think if she is in Europe, she probably would have been found already, right?
You would think.
But then, it's fairly European centric. Like, it's
most people on the run
European
don't
investors.
Yeah, but then most people on the run don't have $500 million there at hand, and a potential $15 billion in cryptocurrency as well.
That's very true.
So she had a lot of assets with her.
Bribe.
I can't even imagine. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't even imagine how far that would get you. I don't know. You wouldn't want to live like that, would you? It's like you've got all of this money, but you've got to be silent. You've got to be radio silent for your entire life.
Yeah. It doesn't really seem worth it, does it?
Yeah. And she can't exactly do a huge amount of the money, can she? Yeah. She can't buy a ridiculous yacht.
You can't even buy a crazy house, can you, really? Because everyone goes, who does that belong to? It's like, Crypto Queen. Oh, great. Yeah. We found out now. Yep. I don't know. We'll see where she pops up. I reckon she will. I reckon she'll be found at some point.
Well, let us know in the comments what you think. Do you think Roya Ignatova, the crypto queen, won? Do you think that she was the most successful criminal in history? I'm interested to know what you think about that, Martin, as well. And two, do you think that she will ever be found or discovered? And do you think there will ever be an answer to this mystery? Yeah, what do you think, Martin? Do you think, would you describe her as the most successful criminal in history?
I mean, she's not confirmed dead. So that's got to be quite successful, because a lot of the ones who were like crazy successful at the time of course died, in terms of just like ones who, we look, think about the most notorious drug dealers in the world.
Yeah,
it's like most of them are either dead or in prison. In fact, exactly, pretty much all of them are dead or in prison, aren't they?
Well, I mean, all the ones that we know about. This is the interesting thing. I mean, the most successful criminal are the ones that got away with it, right? She is technically
that's real success.
I think she's a known criminal, but she's technically at large, and I think she has the biggest, most successful haul of any criminal known to have existed. Like,
really,
15 billion? Is there any other? That's more than you'd get in the Great Train Robbery, wasn't it?
What about Pablo?
Yeah, but Pablo...
25 billion.
Yeah, but Pablo, I mean, with respect to him, he got killed.
Didn't end well, but...
Yeah, whereas...
Net worth was 30 billion, but was that back then? Might have been. But yeah, estimated net worth of 30 billion by the time of his... By the time of his what? He doesn't finish the sentence. Time of his death, okay. So that was 93, 30 billion, 93, which is quite a lot. But then he died. Yeah, this is it. She's still alive. Yeah, why not? She's the most successful woman. Yeah, why not?
Well, I wore you down.
It's your DB Keeper.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Well, yeah. What an interesting story.
Yes, no, maybe.
I think she could well be. She could well be the most successful criminal in history, but it all depends if we ever find out the answer, if she got away with it. Purely in terms of the amount of money. Yeah, purely in terms of the amount of money that she managed to get away with, you know.
Yes.
Other criminals don't want money and would see themselves as very successful anyway, you know. Or you've got criminals like Richard Nixon, who achieved success by becoming president, you know.
Yeah, he's not the only one, is he? More recent examples too.
Yeah, I went Nixon, but I mean, we could say some more recent ones.
We could.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course, we're talking about Bill Clinton, of course.
Yes, obviously.
Yes.
But anyway, let us know what you think of this story in the comments down below. We hope you enjoyed this discussion. Sadly, we can't do a quiz this week because there's only two of us, Martin.
True.
We are winding down to the end of this season. I think there's only a few episodes left, and we are equals peequals on the leaderboard. I think we've both got 6 wins. So it's getting tense.
It is heating up. It really is. And I do have the prize ready for whoever wins as well.
Why do you have the prize, Martin? It should be in my hands.
I don't know, man, because I think I'm pretty sure that I am the... We've forget about season 2. I think I'm pretty sure that I'm the reigning champion of the quiz. So that's probably the reason why. But after this, we are going over to Patreon, aren't we? We are going to record a couple of episodes there about, most likely, we haven't confirmed actually completely, but probably one about Boris Johnson, because it's, you know, that's all kicking off. And maybe another, although I don't know too much about this other than the fact that he's been assassinated today. But old Abe.
Yeah, she's an Abe.
Prime Minister of Japan, who was assassinated today. Yeah, and some of the crazy reactions. Like, I saw an amazing tweet earlier. Someone that went, I'm paraphrasing here, but on the lines of, yeah, well, gun laws are really strict in Japan, and look what happened. Explain that, liberals. Mate, the guy had to build his own gun. That's the explanation of it. It's so rare. He doesn't even have the components. He had to build a gun. Like, I'm not saying fair play to the bloke, but, you know, it took a lot of effort. He wasn't able to just pick one up.
Yeah, exactly. Gun laws made it way harder for
much more difficult
for this to happen. Anyways, on that very... Well, it's not political over here in the UK, but in the US, apparently it is. On that very political note, if you do want to catch our reactions to both of those topics, head over to our Patreon page, and you can have access to a huge backlog of a little more interesting episodes that we've got over there. Anything else that we need to say? I don't think so.
I think that's it. I mean, send your well wishes to Robin on Twitter. I'm sure he'd appreciate that.
Oh, that's a good one. It's at all-time Robin.
All-time Robin, yeah.
At all time, Robin.
See you soon.
And we'll see you.
Yeah.
Next time. Bye bye.
Next time. Smooth outro. Next time.